Moncrief on News Talk.
Now this year, Guinness World Records is marking its 70th anniversary of the publication of their first book. But did you know that the origins of this extraordinary story began in Castlebridge in Wexford? Joining me now is John Ryan from the Castlebridge Inspire Group. So John, what's all this about? It started in Wexford with a gang of fellows out shooting.
That's right. There was a party led by the managing director of Guinness at the time in County Wexford, where they were shooting some duck and some game birds down in the Sloblands. And they were staying at the Castlebridge House. And as part of the weekend of activities, they got into a heated debate about what the fastest game bird in the world was. And because they couldn't resolve that, and Mr. Hugh Beaver, who was the managing director of Guinness, he decided that there should be a book where you could reference such records of achievement and not have to get into arguments.
Okay, so the unfortunately named Hugh Beaver decided that, you know, once they'd figured out this about the game bird, they would actually make a, not a business out of it, but a whole book and a history of these things.
Correct, yeah, a single source of reference. And in fact, when they actually came to launching the book, which was about 4 and a bit years later, it obviously had been closely aligned to Guinness, and hence why the Guinness brand continued. Mm. But also it took on a flavour of a marketing initiative, and it was being distributed in the public houses for people to use as part of an activity when they were having a drink and on the social occasions, and then they could discuss those facts.
Okay, interesting. And so, you know, my understanding of it now is, and I've actually seen one or two Guinness records being adjudicated on here in News Talk over the years, is that someone comes out and checks that you're, whatever it is, eating 60 Jaffas in 2 minutes or whatever record it is you're trying to break. But back then, how were records verified? I presume it was a much more difficult thing to do.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, in the early stages, it was trying to be, you know, it was a case of trying to collect as much information. And I think what worked well was the McWhirter brothers were the initial contributors of all of that information. And they had already been on somewhat of a mission themselves, thinking about this type of project. So it was a perfect marriage having them on board because they had that analytical consideration of all those facts, and they were already gathering that information. So that was a good base to build on. And over time, you know, it has been something that I'm sure there have been a few controversies along the way, and a lot of national pride, of course, in records, as you know. But look, it has evolved, and it's a strict regime. You know, not everyone can get to claim that they've broken the official record, and that's certainly still the, you know, the holy grail for everyone.
Yeah, and you know, I know we're getting off topic here, but I think it's a good thing in the world that there is the Guinness Book of Records. It adds to the world that these records can be achieved. You know, now, so when this first book came out in 1955, I gather it was called the World Book or the World Book of Superlatives.
Well, that was a working title. That was the name of the company, in fact, that they had registered a year before that they built it up on. So the word superlatives has been mentioned along the way in those early days. But it's perhaps not something that, you know, has continued much since. Certainly the brand of the Book of Records has now become the Book of World Records.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at now.
Yeah. And look, not to go down a rabbit hole of publishing and world records, but my son gets it every year from Santa and has done for the last 5 years, I think. It's incredibly colourful and the pictures are great, even without even reading about the records. They really do a superlative job, if I may be so bold as to suggest. But I assume the first one in 1955 was a lot less colourful.
Yeah, look, it was black and white, but certainly there were photographs there.
Okay.
And, you know, in fairness, there was a lot of reading. And look, I think the good news from the Ireland perspective was it was very focused around Ireland and the UK and Europe initially. You know, the weight was in that region. So Ireland really had, it was a strong contributor, particularly around our sports achievements and so forth. They were all mentioned in there.
Yeah. And I gather, do you have one of the first editions?
Yeah, we have two of them, actually. One was donated by a local, and also we actually sourced one in Australia. So, we've been fortunate enough to have two.
Okay. And not that you dream of it, but I presume you could sell it for a hatful of cash on eBay if you wanted.
Well, we don't. We always think about the retirement policies, you know.
How crude of me to even suggest such a thing. So tell me this then. Castlebridge House is where all this happened. So what's the state of Castlebridge House today? I gather this is part of why you're involved in all this.
Correct. Look, it's a house of, much history. There's been many families, the Dixons. Famous Dixons were involved in the original revolution, and also Father Dixon was the first priest to say first Catholic priest to say mass in Australia, and we have the Breens, and also the nuns, and the nun family was the famous. They were famous merchants of grain, and hence the connection there. So there's great lineage in that house. And it is derelict today, and we're very interested, and the whole community around County Wexford is very interested in bringing that that back to life now. So there's a lot of interest in that now.
And is that what the Castlebridge Inspire group do?
So Castlebridge Inspire that's one element, and we're certainly we're collaborating with Guinness World Records. But the other aspect is about the Inspire story, the fact that Castlebridge was where it all started. So we would say that anyone who has a world record is welcomed back to Castlebridge to be a future inspiration for those who will get records in the future. Mm. So we'd like to think that it's one of the world sites of inspiration because of the significance of what was achieved in 1951.
Okay, so are you thinking down the line some kind of almost, for want of a better phrase, interpretive centre about Guinness records could be housed there?
There will be part of that for sure. But it's also, if you like to think of it, the human race, we have to solve a lot of challenges still. And we need places in the world where we can come together to do that. So we'd like to think that, whether there's organizations, charities or businesses who feel that they need to be in a special place for that special meeting, we think that this is one site where that can be. We can relay and replay what the significance of was achieved there in the Guinness World Records and use that as the future inspiration too.
Absolutely. That seems to me as good a location as any where the Guinness Book of Records started. Why not get great minds there thinking about records or other things? Tell me this, really, though, I've been killing time all along. You yourself have been involved in a Thin Whistle record.
Yes, as part of the FLA Cole that was in Wexford last year, the organisers decided to put on the Tin Whistle Ensemble record. And we needed about 1,200 to beat, playing for 5 minutes. And we actually got over 2,500. And it was an amazing event, right in the middle of the FLA, perhaps one of the real key events of the FLA, Kyol. And, great community spirit. And we were fortunate enough to have the editor of the Guinness World Records over Craig Glenday, and he was a fantastic adjudicator, and we got the blue tick, and we were officially amazing, as they say, and it was great. So it's a great memory created, and all part aligned with what we're doing in Castlebridge too. So really brought that story home, but great for the FLA Cole too, because that's such a celebration of our greatness and our world-leading Irish music too. So a really great alignment with Guinness World Records in that regard as well.
And just to be clear, what the actual record was, it was for the most people playing the thin whistle at the same time.
In the world, yeah, for 5 minutes. And we played...
2,500 people.
Correct, yes.
Wow. Now, I don't want to be... But that could be a hellish kind of sound, depending on, the ability of the thin whistle players. Were they all up to task?
Absolutely. They apparently on the day there was a few that had to be discarded because they weren't blowing. But look, we got there in the end, so it was great. Lovely feeling, lovely community atmosphere around that.
Okay, is that on YouTube? Could one
yes,
find that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You Yep, just do the tin whistle world record and you'll see there's some great little videos there.
Brilliant, brilliant. Okay, well, John, it's lovely to talk to you. That's John Ryan from the Castlebridge Inspire Group, hoping to remind people of where the Guinness Book of Records all started. John, lovely to talk to you.
Great. Thanks, John. All the best.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.